Okay, what page are you on?
I think we're on today 64.
Uh-huh.
If I'm not mistaken. Fine, Baruch Hashem. So let's see. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. In the previous segment, the Chafetz Chaim introduces us to the concept of the Varim HaNikarim, recognizable signs, as a basis for believing the certain forms of Lashon Hara. Right, we explain when Lashon Hara is spoken to Elis for a constructive purpose. Usually, you're allowed to listen to it, but not believe it. Correct? Usually you can listen to it, but not believe it. Correct? Lashon Hara, that's spoken for a constructive purpose, could be listened to, I can listen to it and just, you know, be careful, not accept it as fact. However, when there are recognizable signs, circumstantial proof, then at times I can believe certain forms of Lashon Hara, even believe it. Now there are two major conditions which must be fulfilled before we can apply this principle. First of all, the evidence must be directly related to Lashon Hara, and it must be strong and not superficial. The second thing is the listener must recognize firsthand the validity of the evidence. Now, even if we have powerful first-hand evidence which permits us to believe the Lashon Hara, we are still prohibited from sharing this information with others without a constructive reason. So again, someone told me Lashon Hara for a constructive reason. Right? Now, I have circumstantial proof that it was saying is truth. It's true. Now, I'm allowed to believe it, but I'm still not allowed to share it with other people. Now, what's the source for this? The source for this rule is Dvar HaNikarim, as Talmudic interpretation of a story in scripture. In that incident, King David accepted the report of Mephibosheth, the son of King Shaul, that he was upset over David's return to the throne after a rebellion as well. When David returned, Mephibosheth went to meet him looking woefully unkempt. His unkempt appearance gave the impression that he was not happy with David's return. Nevertheless, David did not rely on him until he personally heard a harsh statement from the mouth of Mephibosheth. Only then he accepted his report as fact, which he had heard. So here's the whole time that we learned that only definite, recognizable signs can be used as a proof regarding Hashem. So again, David HaMelech comes, and he heard that Mephibosheth is not so happy about him coming back to his room. Right, King Shaul's son, he heard that he's not so thrilled. However, he did not accept it as fact, until he himself knew for sure even though he had a recognizable sign, he had a sign, Mephibosheth came and he wasn't dressed nicely for David to greet David HaMelech, still, he didn't accept it as fact until he heard it from himself firsthand, and Mephibosheth was talking to him in a not nice manner. That's what he said. So saying, it has to be a definite recognizable sign in order to accept Lashon Hara as fact. In the case of Lashon Hara to Ellis, we heard Lashon Hara for constructive purpose. That's day 64. Baruch Hashem, that's Allah for the day. So again, in a case where Lashon Hara is spoken for a specific purpose, I'm only allowed to accept it as fact when I have definite proof that what the person is saying is true. That's Allah. It's good so far, so good. Which means, we said yesterday, an example. Let's say someone tells a parent, one of your children's friends is not the best kid for them to be with. They're a bad influence. So they're saying for constructive purpose. Right? So as of now, right, someone tells a parent, this person, one of your children's friends, is a bad influence. So right now, the parent could listen to the Lashon Hara to be cautious, but not accept it as fact. That's step one.
You should accept it as fact.
Yeah. It's better always to be said if you say Lashon Hara to Ellis to tell the person to go to Ellis. That's true. Now, is a parent allowed to accept it as fact that they can maybe take stronger precautions? So if there are signs which prove that Lashon Hara was true, definite signs, then the parent could accept it as fact, this Lashon Hara's fact, that this person is a bad influence for his child. That's the halacha we're saying. Until he has definite proof, he can't accept it as fact. Just put it in his mind, just be a little bit cautious. If he has circumstantial proof that it's true, then he could accept it as fact.
But fine. If he does accept it as fact, whether he does or does not, what should he do with his child? Should he warn his child?
Every person has to know the rights and secrets sometimes to try to keep away from the child without warning them. You know, every person has to know their situation. Depends on some situation, certain situations, it's worth it to tell the child, listen, I think it's a bad influence. In certain situations, it's better not to tell the child why. You just try to make him avoid it. Don't, you know, try to avoid their relationship as much as you can. Without, you know, doing it directly. Depends on the scenario. Sometimes with children, if you try to do it directly, it doesn't work. Try to, like, break up a friendship, it doesn't work. Just do it. Ta'alat Hashem, ask people. I do it the right way. Fine. Let's see the Gemara. Baruch Hashem, we're holding down, ready to get alpha and base. Getting closer to the end of the parak. Fine. Baruch Hashem. So now we're going to continue the Gemara. Only 6 lines from the wide line, the Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Even if you learned it a few days ago, you can chazar. Let's see the Gemara.
6 lines down from the wide lines.
6 lines down from the wide lines. Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b. Right, we're quoting the Mishnah. What do we say in the Mishnah? In Ad Shalom Nigmar Dino Bechum. What do we say in the Mishnah? We said in the Mishnah, if there was not yet a Gemar Din, right? There was not yet a Gemar Din. Then the Kohen Gadol dies. And before his Gemar Din, and then they make a new Kohen Gadol, then you go out with the death of the second Kohen Gadol. Correct? That's what we said in the Mishnah. If, even though when he killed, at the point where he killed was Kohen Gadol number one. You know, we just thought about it. If, when the person got killed, the murderer murdered, the murdering happened in the time of Kohen Gadol 1, then, before his final judgment, they appointed Kohen Gadol number 2. His freedom from the Gadol goes from Kohen Gadol number 2. And that's who's around by the Gemara Din. So you go by the one who's by the Gemara Din and not by the one who's around by the murderer. Correct? Now the Gemara, so where do you get that from? How do you know? It's true, you tell me usually you go by the Kohen Gadol to be there by the Gemara Din. But how do you know that his freedom is dependent on the Kohen Gadol who went free by the Gemara Din and not by the Kohen Gadol who was existing during his murder? Right? We keep saying in the Mishnah, everything depends on your time of your Gemara Din. How do we know that? We got there with Fred. How do we know? We keep saying in the Mishnah, everything depends on the Gemara Din. That the time of your final judgment, that's what we care. There's the Kohen Gadol, was the Kohen Gadol, wasn't the Kohen Gadol, this Kohen Gadol, that Kohen Gadol. Everything is dependent on your Gemara Din. Where do we get that from? That's the Gemara's question. Why say we know how to need it? Where do we know this from? That it's that everything depends on the Kohen Gadol who's serving at the time of your Gemara Din. Our whole Mishnah, there's the Kohen Gadol around your Gemara Din, there's the second Kohen Gadol around this Gemara Din, there's no Kohen Gadol, everything's around the band of your Gemara Din. Where do we get that from? Amar Rav Kahana. God answers. The Amar Kra, we have the pasuk says the following. Midbar Lamed Hei Chafei, it says, V'yashav ba, and he should dwell in it, meaning the murderer should dwell in it, in the Ari Mikla, ad until Mois HaKohen Gadol, the death of the Kohen Gadol, Asher Mashach Oisai, which he anointed the Kohen Gadol, V'shevet HaKodesh, with the Holy Shemin. So what does it sound like? The Ritzach, the murderer, should sit in the Ari Mikla until the Kohen Gadol dies, that he, the murderer, anointed the Kohen Gadol. That's what it sounds like. And the Gemara says, that he anointed the Kohen Gadol. Why say you stay in the Ari Mikla until the Kohen Gadol, which you anointed, dies? He's a murderer. He's not anointing any Kohen Gadol. He anointed? Right? So when the Bandit mean you go free, when the Kragodah who you anointed dies. He says, what's it mean? Ella, rather, what must it mean? It must mean like this. Zeh, it must be this Kragodah. This Kragodah who is only appointed by the time of your trial, by the time of your Gemar Din. Shenimshach v'yama. It doesn't mean that you anointed it. I mean, you have to die. You go free. When the Kragodah who was anointed in your time by your Gemar Din, that's when you go free. I mean, so what are we saying? We're saying, it doesn't mean that you anointed it. Because you don't anoint him. It means the person was anointed at the time of your Gemara did. That's the Gemara wants to say.
Therefore, if you didn't have Gemara did, and the Kragodah dies, and you miss another one, it's not going to be the Kragodah who did all that. They replaced him by the time of
Gemara did. Oh, it's not so much. I said, right. It has to be that you, so to speak, that you anointed him. Okay, meaning what? Meaning? See, Rashi, I know what Rashi says. You know, we're saying that, well, how are we learning here? What are we learning here? We're saying over here that when do you go, what are we saying here? Sorry. I'm trying to wake myself up. What are we saying over here? When does he go free? It depends on the Kragodah who was anointed in his days. Meaning, let's say the Kragodah died, but one was re-anointed in your days, by your commanded. That's the Kragodah who you follow. When he dies, that's when you go free. So over here, he had one Kragodah who was around when he murdered. Another Kragodah was around when he commanded. So how do you know his freedom is dependent on the Kragodah who was around when he commanded? Maybe his freedom should be dependent. Kragodah who was around by the time of his murder, who's dead now. Right, what do we say? He had one Kragodah around when he murdered. That Kragodah dies. Does he go free? Again, here's the story. He killed Kragodah A. Kragodah A dies. He has a Gemar Din. So, sorry. He killed somebody with Kragodah A around. Good? Now, Kragodah A dies. Next is we appoint a new Kragodah and we give him a Gemar Din. So now, we said his freedom is dependent on the death of the second Kragodah.
But the second Kragodah was appointed before the Gemar Din.
Right, before the Gemar Din. Good. Appointed before the Gemar Din. Now, why the hell do we know that? Maybe his freedom should be dependent on
the second Kragodah. He was appointed after the Gemar Din and the guy would go free.
Yeah, but maybe he should go with the appointed who was appointed when he killed.
But we don't know he killed until the Gemar Din.
No, but it's true. But once we do the Gemar Din, we know retroactively that he killed. The good one. Rav saying, of course you go by the Kragodah who's by the Gemar Din. So that's when we figure out he killed. But really, once we just figure out by the Gemar Din he killed, but we figure out he killed 2 weeks ago. So why are we going with the Kragodah who's at the time of his final judgment? Maybe we should look at the Kragodah who's around when he murdered. Especially since we said yesterday, why do you go free when the Kragodah dies? Because he should have davened that you shouldn't have killed, and he didn't daven. So does his kapara also is helping you, so therefore you go in him. So why is your freedom dependent on the Kragodah when you're by your Gemar Din? Maybe your freedom should be dependent on the Kragodah when you murdered, who's dead now. You shouldn't go to Golos. Right, there was two Kragodahs. One Kragodah when you murdered, who's dead by now. Another Kragodah by your Gemar Din, correct? So why are we saying your freedom is dependent on the death of the second Kragodah? Maybe she depends on the first Kragodah, when you murder. So why I say we have a positive? The positive teaches me that it sounds like, right? The positive is teaching me that the Kragodah by your Gemar Din, who was anointed, even in your times, that's who you go by, not by the one who died. That's the Gemara's text. Let's see the first Rashi in the Gemara.
Learn the reason for that. Which would mean that the reason that the Kohen Gadol was supposed to pray that they wouldn't murder, and we also know that his job also was to pray that the Gezar Din rule.
Oh, that'd be the next one.
That's what we're going to learn, but which sort of doesn't negate what we learned before, but it's a tosefet.
Nachon, he should daven for both. Yeah. Not only does Kagala daven, people shouldn't murder. If they murder, they should be found innocent. Really interesting type of thing to say, because if he's innocent, he's innocent. He's guilty, he's guilty. But you see, it could be best to find the reason to make him innocent. Or at least, what does innocent mean? Innocent means best doesn't have strong enough proof to kill you. What does innocent mean? Innocent means best and can't kill you. Could be the story happened. We don't have enough proof that you're guilty. It could be the Kagala should have davened that you should be found guilty, you should be found innocent. Fine, so let's see the Gemara inside.
Well, they're even saying, not just innocent, but like an onus, he doesn't even go to God.
Right. Onus. What? Wasn't it fault? I guess it's more like innocent, meaning you're not even. So why do you go to college? It was a mistake. The wife said you should have been more careful. But it was honest means you're really innocent. You didn't do anything wrong. You mean a little bit wrong.
You mean it's a complete accident.
Innocent is something.
You mean it's a complete accident rather than having him responsible for any part?
Correct. On a complete accident, then we would not go to God. But good. Let's see the first Rashi on the Gemara. Shenimshach b'yama. Mishenah says Zeretzeh. Because Rashi is, but let's say you have a kohen who got anointed in his days, in the days of the murderer, meaning after he's considered to be a murderer, then we'll say that you go by the second kohen gadol, your freedom depends on the second kohen gadol. So now, why is the question? About like 12, 13 lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, "My havalei le'me'ebad, what should have he done?" Meaning, what should the Kohen Gadol done? Meaning, you sound like you're blaming the Kohen Gadol. Say, so you go to Ari Mikla until when? Until the Kohen Gadol dies. Right? Why? Because once he completes his tshuva, then, right, the Gemara and Amadal, so remember the Gemara that we said that the Kohen Gadol, he's really considered reliable for this whole story. The question is, what should the Kohen Gadol done? I mean, why is this person free to depend on the death of this Kohen Gadol? It's not like you have blame on this Kohen Gadol. That's what it means. Right? If you're telling me this guy's freedom is dependent on the death of a Kohen Gadol, it means you're putting some blame on this Kohen Gadol. That's what it means. You're connecting it to the story. What should it be done? The answer is interesting there. It wasn't worth the answer. You should have asked her mercy. She yigmar dina l'schus that his final judgment should come out innocent. But lo bikish and he didn't die. So this Kohen Gadol also did something wrong. Even though you didn't do anything wrong, so I'll murder your time, because the murder was before your time, Mr. Kohen Gadol. But since you should have davened, and you didn't daven that you should call it innocent, we're going to hold you liable, and his freedom is going to be dependent on your death. Interesting remark. Amar Abai. Now, today we learned, Nikmar Dina Umes. Well, let's say a guy had a Gemar Din, the murderer, and the murderer drops dead. He's so scared to go to Ari Mikla, he dies on the spot. What did he do? Do we take a dead man to Ari Mikla?
Okay. Says,
yes. Malicha says, my tosh, I'll take his bones there. To say, Lashuv, Lashav is Ba'arim. He should return and sit in the land. Ad much kind of. So here we're taking it very literally. He should rest in the land. Bezeo, Yeshiva, Shibar. What's a dwelling? It's in the land, meaning in the ground. Have I been like that's being buried? So even though, of course, Pashu Shat, you would say, just means he should dwell in the land, as like in the place of the Ari Mikla. We're making Yisrasha very literally. He should dwell in the land physically. His body should be in the land. Whose body goes in the land? The dead man. He should actually be buried in the earth. Got that Yisrasha Chana? It's interesting. We're making Yisrasha. No, I'm saying, Pashu Shat means he should go in the land. We're saying this guy should dwell in the land literally. It's a dead man. Even if he dies after his martyrdom, you got to take him in Ari Mikla and put him underground. Well, even if you went to Ari Mikla, the guy is living in Ari Mikla, he gets buried there. Until when? Next morning they say, until the Kohen Gadol dies. Once Kohen Gadol dies, you bring him back to his father's place where his parents are buried. Tana, we learn, Meis Kodesh to Meis Kohen Gadol. The person Ar Mikla died before the Kohen Gadol died. Well, Lichan as Meisav, when once the Kohen Gadol died, will bring his bones Al Kiri Al Meisav. The farm of the Tana, he can be buried with his family. He doesn't have to stay buried in Ar Mikla forever. Good? How do we know Zalach HaFlai? Yashav HaRitzech Al Erez HaChuzasai. The Ritzech should return to the place of his inheritance. Ezo Yeshiva Shiva Erez HaChuzasai. How do you return to in the land of your inheritance? To the land of your inheritance. HaRav Ezek Kuru, that's going to be Kuru. So good. Everything's good so far?
Just like yesterday with the boot heel?
Yes. But well, eventually you take him out. Once you go to the you got the kapar, you think about bringing back this family. Well, right? It's good, right?
I'm not thinking literally. Literally,
you probably
should sit. What?
Okay. Like the shepherd. You mean to dwell, not literally, but alright. You gotta put him in the land. Tuck him under. Fun. Fine. Let's see now further. Negamar Dinai. This guy has a Gemar Din. The Naas the Kohen Begusha Bepalutta. The Kohen, let's say, the Kohen ends up, he's a Kohen Shema. Sorry, I skipped the Rashi in the Gemara before. Let's see the Rashi on the Gemara, the second line of Gemara. Rashi, my Havale Lahai Kohen Lameh. What should have this Kohen done? Me'al Kharsha Dai Lahai Kohen Gadol Ksheharak. After the fact that he was still not the Kohen Gadol when this murder occurred, why is he getting Einish? Why is this Kohen getting Einish that his death is the dependent, that the person's freedom is dependent on this Kohen's death? Why is Kohen getting Einish? We said, because he should have davened. He should have davened the Gemara. He did the final judgment to come out innocent. He didn't daven. Fine, let's see the next Rashi. Tana, Meis Ritzel Fire Miklot. The Ritzel died in the Ir Miklot. Meis Kohen Gadol Achaz Bar, the Kohen Gadol died way afterwards. We said the Pasuk said, La Shevis Ba'aretz B'Sech HaKarka. Just dwell in the land itself. Good? Fine. Let's see next tomorrow. Nick Mardina. There was already a Gemara Din. The guy had his final judgment. Vina says Kayin Begush Bagul. Then we find out that our dear Kayin is a son of a widow or the son of a divorcee who got remarried. And then had a. This lady was married once before to somebody. She got divorced, her husband died. She married a Kayin Gadol. She married a Kayin. And this kid's a Chol, he's a messed up kid. So let's say we find that now our Kohen, we thought it was so kosher, his mother is a divorcee who married his father, a Kohen. So you're not a good Kohen? Kohen? So now what? Sorry, let's say this has after the Gemara did it. The guy got a Gemara did it. We think we have a Kohen Gadol around. Then we find out we didn't really have a good Kohen Gadol. We had a Chalal. The guy is a Chalal. He's a profane Kohen. He's a profane Kohen Gadol. So what happened here? Nick went to ask a kind of wish about click of Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak. So my click is between Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak. We have a click. Chad, Amar, one says, makes it Buna. One says, the Kohen died, make believe the Kohen just died. But from now on, we have no more Kohen Gadol. The Chad, Amar, Batla Kohen, one says, no, the Kohen is Kohen is Batla. Let's see Rashi. The Nata, the Kohen Gadol and Grusha. Sixth line, for the bottom of Rashi. Yatza Olav Eidas, Eidas witnessed his testimony came out of him, Shulchal, that he's a profane Kohen. His mother was divorced. So Beis Nakuna, one Shita says, we're not sure who Rabbi was looking after. If this guy is found to be puzzled, from now on, Ariel Kemes, that you make believe the Kohen Gadol just died, they never say the Kohen Gadol. The Ritzeach is not going to Golos. Because if you have the Gemara Din, and right then the Kohen Gadol dies, you don't go to Golos. Comes the other opinion, he says, no, Batla Kuhuna. And meanwhile,
so the base code, Kahuna, is that it's not retro, so you get up to that point, is okay. And the Batla Kuhuna, Kahuna, is that this thing never existed, and if it did, it doesn't have any impact whatsoever.
What's your question?
The base Kahuna,
yeah.
That one is saying that he was puzzled up to that point that he found. He was puzzled.
Right.
Only the point that he found out in four words and everything was okay.
Correct. Perfect.
Yeah, the Batla Kuhuna priesthood.
Good.
Everything he's done, retro and four, and we're not going on.
Enough. Good. That's what Rashi said. Batla Kuhuna, Iglai Milsa Mafreya, it reveals, Iglai Milsa means it reveals to us. What's the word Iglai? Like Megal, it reveals to us most of the single Mafreya retroactively. Shalaya Yikaragal, you never cry Gadol. Probably, hi, we're safe for this murderer, Nigmar, do you not believe Kain Yannick Maidu without a Kain Gadol? The Ain of Haizal Eilim, so you never get out of Golos forever. That's going to be the Allah. Now, what's the word I say? Lema, let us say, the Tzluchtas Rabbi Elezer of Rabbi Yeshua Kamifliki. This Machlaik is the Rabbi Amir Rabbi Yitzchak, in our case, is Machlaik is the Rabbi Elezer of Yeshua. The fact that we learned in the Mishnah, the guy is standing and bringing Karbanis on top of the Mizbeah. The night that it becomes known, to Ben Grush Ben Chalutza, it becomes known you're Pasal. You're Ben Grush Ben Chalutza. Rebel Yezer says, Kol Karban Hashayek Ripsu. Every carbon that Kain ever brought in his life is Pasal.
What's the purpose of the Gemara doing this?
So
I'll tell you.
One second. Rebel Yeshua Machshir. Yeshua says it's kosher. So Rebel wants to make a chesh b'nech. Manda Amr Mesa. The Manda Amr said, like, by an arson here, he's like, the Kain Gadol died. It's Krabi Yeshua. Manda Amr Krabi Yezer. Manda Amr Bazel Krabi Yezer. We'll explain in a second. So first of all, usually the Gemara doesn't like that Amr Ra'im are going to have the same Achlok as his Tanayim. The Gemara does not like when Amr Ra'im are arguing the same Achlok as the Tanayim. Because the Tanayim already argued. Right? Why are you arguing? So if you're having the same Achlok, it's a problem. So usually we figure out where somewhere along the lines it's not the same exact machlok. It doesn't line up perfectly, so therefore they're arguing in their own world. Because Tanayim don't really make sense. If you're Amari, you're a second generation, it doesn't make sense that you knew everything that Tanayim say. They knew all the Mishnayos. So why are you repeating the same argument?
But we see that the same argument.
That's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara always tries to show. First of all, it seems to line up.
Why does it even line it up?
That's the Gemara's question. It seems to line up, so it's a problem. If they line up, what is Amiram doing? Arguing again in the same machlokes as Tanayim did. Meaning you're making like it's your own machlokes. It's not your own argument. It was ready an argument from the Tanayim. You know that. So Mar always shows why it doesn't line up. And therefore the Amorim are in their own world. They have the right to argue because they're not on the same exact page as the Tanayim. Good? It's good or is it? That's meaning sometimes the Mar asks it like a Shleva Katanayim. It seems to be a machlokes as Tanayim and it's a problem. But it's funny because sometimes the Artan the Mar brings like as a proof. Like to the Amoraim, like we see, like the Machlokes now. Usually, the Gemara doesn't like it. Go to a friend, that's a good chat. It's good. So, what's happening is like this. Basically, we have a question. A Kohen who gets messed up now. A Kohen who got messed up. We found out he's a profane Kohen. We found out his mother's a divorced lady who was married to a Kohen. Either a Kohen or a Kohen Gadol. Now, do we say that he's only messed up from now and on? Until now, everything's good. From now on, we're going to kick you out. Or no. We say, even retroactively, everything you did was bad. It was awful. It's possible. If I don't hear the question, we found that today a Kohen is possible. His mother's a divorcee, married to a Kohen. He's a Chal, he's a profane Kohen. So do we say No, it'll be like, from now on, you can't do anything in the Mitzvah Mikdash. From now on, you're not a Kohen Gadol. From now, you can't do Korbanos. No. Or we're very strict. We say, retroactively, everything you did is off. It's like you never did anything. You're a Pasul Kohen, it's all off. Which means like this. All the Korbanos you brought until now are worthless. And also, if you were a Kohen and someone died with the Gemara did in your times, right? It doesn't matter. It's as if they had a Gemara did with no Kohen. Because you're all retroactively saying, in which we said it's very strict, we said in the Mishnah, if you have a Gemara did with no Kohen, what's the halacha? You have a Gemara did with no Kohen.
You can't get out.
You can't get out forever. So are we going to say to this guy, no, we'll assume there was a Kohen until now. Just from now on, there's no Kohen. Does that mean the Kohen died just now, which is the best scenario for you? You're free. Right after your Gemara did, we found that the Kohen's messed up. So make believe the Kohen just died. You're free to go. You're the best case scenario. Or no, or you're the worst case scenario possible. It's as if there was no Kohen around. Since we found the Kohen, it's possible. No. Retroactively, there's no Kohen. You're a guy who died without a Kohen. You're stuck forever. You go to the Aravindo forever. So either you're the best case scenario or the worst case scenario.
So worst case scenario also means that there's no backup Kohen. Right?
Now hold on, let's assume there's no one else around. That's what we said in the Gemara. There's no one else around. There's no one else around. Now the Gemara wants to say, this argument about a regular Kohen by Korbanos seems to be the same argument about a Kohen Gadol. Meaning like this. If you hold, let's say, for example, Eliezer holds that if we find the Kohen is messed up now, we just look at him like he died now. Make believe the Kohen Gadol just died. Not retroactively. He died. It's a Mesa Kohuna. So what would Eliezer hold? He holds Mesa Kohuna. Eliezer holds the Kohen died. So first of all, if a person just had a Gemara Din, we just made a final judgment on a guy, then we find out that he's messed up. You know, godless for you. Ain't godless, no godless for you. The Kohen just died now. Beautiful. Go free. Right? And also, all the Korbanos you brought until now, could make him believe the Kohen just died. So the Kohen died. Everything's kosher until now. So it's not really. Ezer, Sisi, he holds all the Korbanos are kosher. Because he holds the Kohen died. Good?
Sorry, I messed up the name. Rabbi Yeshua holds as if the coin died right now.
So from now on, we won't accept it. So it should mean the guy who had a Gemara did with this coin. He had a final dinner with the coin. And then he died. So the halacha is the best case scenario, go free. Right? He had a Gemara did. But also, it turned out all the Kabbalists are kosher. That's what should come out. So this should line up. All the Kabbalists are done there are kosher. And there's no brothers for you because the coin just died. Correct? That's where we had the Rishon. So it seems like for sure, the Kabbalists are kosher, he holds the Kabbalists. Therefore, this should hold this also. Since the Yeshua holds this, the Kabbalists are kosher. It means he holds the kind of. That should equal that he should hold, you don't go to God. Fine? Good. Now, what about Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer told me that all the Kabbalists are possible. Which means, retroactively, you're never a kind. But we found that we won't, which means he holds Batul Kuhuna. He holds your Kuhuna is cancelled. You were never a Kohen. So what would that equal? So if you had a Gemar Din, right, with such a coin, right, we gave you a Gemar Din. The coin wasn't around.
So it's just stay for there forever.
So therefore,
there
was no forever. You're going to go to Golis forever, correct. That's what we want to line up. If you hold a Karbanos on kosher, that means you hold the Kohen Gadol just died now. So he was around. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol dies just now after your Gemara Din. There's no Golos. But really, Yezer holds your Korbanos on Pasul, which means he holds retroactively, you have nothing. So if you were if you killed somebody and had a Gemara Din with such a Kohen, retroactively there's no one here, therefore you should go to Golos. Well, it's just everything line seems to line up. I think there's a flight between Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Napka. You go to Golos or not, it's the same like this. it seems to be the same exact, it seems to be everything lines up. Good? Fine? Are you guys happy? Fine. Now, the Rebbe's going to say, well.
So, what's the final resolution?
Well, that's the next step. First, right now, they were saying, it seems to be a line. Which means we're not so excited about that. Because we're coming out, this, it's really, these Amorayim who argue if you go to Golos or not are arguing the same thing these Tanaim argue on. And they're not supposed to argue the same thing because you know all their arguments by heart. We don't need you to come. You're not adding to me. You're not adding anything by telling me the same place in a different scenario.
Then
they were arguing karbanos.
We're missing something.
Us, must be. We're missing something. I said, must be. So the wise is going to say, doesn't really match up. I'll just say right there. It doesn't matter. Before we get there, where the wise answer why it does not line up, let's first see Rashi. As we saw the Rashi, let's see the Rashi again. What the Rashi makes the kahuna means and but the kahuna. Let's see Rashi. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 lines to the bottom. Right. First Rashi is Mesa Kuna. Meaning when Yeshua holds, the coin died and only from now on we're gonna make everything possible. It means Harehu Kemes, as if he just died. And therefore, the Ein Haratzeach Gol, the murderer does not go to Golos. Because if he had a Gemar Din, and right afterward the coin dies, it doesn't go to Golos. However, Rabbi Eliezer holds, Batla Kuna. If we find that your puzzle, your whole kahuna is cancelled. Which means what? Iklai milsa, iklai makas, reveal to us this thing, lemafreya, meaning retroactively, shalayaya kayin gadol, you were never a kayin gadol. Therefore, vahavale, have it high ritzea, this ritzea, it's going to be that this ritzea, Nick Martino, he had a gemartin, but what kayin gadol? Without a kayin gadol. Therefore, the halacha is going to be, Eidon will never return from Ari Mikla ever because he died without a Kohen Gadol. That's what seems to come out. That's what I seem to say until now. Good. That's what I seem to say. Fine, so now going on to Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So what I was going to say does not necessarily match up. Like this. What I said, I'll leave it to Eliezer, the top line of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. According to Eliezer, who said that the Karbanos are all apostle, right, which seemed to mean that he held Batla Kuhuna, that it was all apostle, it's all canceled from a prayer. Kuli Amalek, please. No one could argue on me and hold, tell me, that he holds that you can't argue coming to the Mesa Kuna. If he holds that all the Karbanos are possible retroactively, right? Must he hold the Kuhuna is canceled, right? You can't give me stories he holds that it's like the Kohen died now. That the Kohen died just now. Why are the Karbanos possible retroactively?
So we're more just saying that the majority of people hold. It's not an issue.
This is going to have to line. I mean, you can't argue. I mean, there's no arguing point to tell me that this doesn't match up. Be like this. We say Yeshua holds like this, the base kuna. He holds kuna dot. It must be he'll match up in this case also. Since he holds the karbanos are kosher, he'll also have to hold like this. I got to say like this. We'll start from this. We said since he holds the karbanos are apostle, all the karbanos are apostle, must mean he holds but the kuna. Everything's canceled retroactively, right? Every carbon is possible retroactively, he holds your kahuna is canceled retroactively.
Like he never existed.
Like it never existed.
Like the same din of somebody right. who had a Kumar dead and there was no point to
correct. Therefore, we said also he'll have to hold that you would go to Golos forever.
Right.
Because there's no crying here, you'll go to Golos forever. Right. This has to match up. There's no way to get out of it. This is set in stone. If you hold the there's no karbanas to the Batu Kuna, you'll have to go to Golos forever. If you're in the world of retroactive, say if you hold Bat Lakuna, you hold Bat Lakuna. The Kuna is canceled, correct? Retroactively, you were never a Kayin. So all your Karbanos are possible, correct? Every Karban you ever bought is possible, correct? So when me made this mark being on you, there was no Kayin here. So you'll have to go to Golos forever. So this has to be. That line has to stay. There has to be true. You can't get out. You can't swiggle out. So that's good to line up. So I'll leave it there, Eliezer. Kuli Abba Leifliki. No one's going to argue that he's not going to hold good. He'll hold the Kabbalah's apostle, because retroactively, also, there was no crying by the Gemar Din, so therefore you're going to go to Galus forever. That has to be. Keep thinking, where could you argue on me? And when could you argue? And when could Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nacha be arguing? They could really both be arguing on working in the opinion in the framework of Rav Yeshua. Manda Amar Mesa, the one who says that we view it as if the crying bubble died, right? And therefore, you don't go to Galus. Rav Yeshua, he holds like Rav Yeshua. Because he holds like Rav Yeshua. That holds that the Kabbalahs are kosher. Umanda Amar Batlam says like this. Ad Kaila Kabbalah Rav Yeshua, when Rav Yeshua says, Halacha Hasam Obadir, we have a special pasuk. The pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Chela. Hashem blesses his army. Ufay al Yadav, and his handiwork, Tirtza, he wants. Which you make a drasha. Afilu Chalal v'chabayit, even if the Kabbalahs were brought by a challah, then they'll still be accepted. I will hacha, but over here, Rav Yeshua, Mother Rav Yeshua would agree. Think like this.
What, 3 to 5? Three to noon.
Okay. So what does Rabbi Yeshua hold? Yeshua holds
good at that point, and he goes free after the point,
he finds out it's possible. So what do we want to say? What does Yeshua say by the Kabbalahs?
It's a good up to that point, but from then on, not.
Yeshua said the Kabbalahs are all kosher, correct?
Right. All kosher, correct.
One is not really kosher. Right? Good? Yeshua said the Kabbalahs are kosher. Why? It seems like only from now and on is right. It seems like the cause are all messed up from now and on. Correct? So, we're saying it's not true. It could be really Yeshua holds retroactively you're messed up. And therefore, in the case of Galus, you will go to Galus forever.
It's going to pick them apart, take one each.
But because of the pasuk or mutual hold,
well, the pasuk
that they're kosher,
the still is kosher. Just say like this: Yeshua really holds pasuk. He really holds retroactively. Everything is messed up retroactively, and therefore he would hold that you go to the kain is canceled retroactively. So by your vayda, there was no kain. So therefore, it's pasuk forever. Therefore, you don't go to kain.
You're in the air.
You're going to be saying that. Ah, it's a wire for the Karban is kosher. If your calling is possible retroactively, have your Karban still be kosher? Well, they should say no. We need a special possible. Hashem says, I like all the handiwork of a coin. I like whatever coin did. I like the handiwork of a coin. So Baruch Hashem blessed his hands, and I want his handiwork. Even if it was done when he was a little bit messed up. He was a coin, it was a messed up coin. If it was done already, then it's kosher. We thought originally, for Yeshua says the Kabbalahs are kosher, he must hold that the Kain is a good Kain, up until now he's a good Kain. Say no, it's not true. Really, even retroactively, he's not a good Kain. And therefore, there was no Kain by the Gemara Din, therefore this guy has to stay forever. However, why the Kabbalahs are they kosher then? I have a special apostle, Father tell me, if the Kabbalahs were done already, but with a challah, then it will be kosher because Hashem blessed his head, Hashem wants his handiwork, even if it wasn't the best way, even if it was a challah.
With Korbanot, did Yeshua win in it? Did he come?
Said that kosher.
And that was okay, he beat up. Is his proof was more than Eli Rabbi Eliezer?
What do you mean by his proof?
His sentence was strong enough to say that.
Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer hold such a drasha? Correct.
So then, are you saying that in both positions, there's no Kohen, and he's stuck there forever?
according to we're saying now,
in
Rabbi Yehuda,
perfect. Yeshua, no.
Very good. We're saying that even in Rabbi Yeshua, it would come out that everyone would hold these stuck there forever. Correct? Because we're saying everyone would agree that the coin was not here retroactively. And therefore, there was no coin by your sentence, and everyone would agree that you stayed forever. Now, why did Yeshua say Karbanis is different? Karbanis is a special pasuk saying Hashem's going to accept the Karbanis even though they weren't good rejected.
Rebbe Elazar and Yeshua both agreed that he would never be released. However, on Karbanis, Rebbe Yeshua is saying that Karbanis is okay, Rebbe Elazar is saying that they're not.
Oh, I have special leniency from a pasuk. The pasuk tells me it's good. Really, I think I had a terrible point.
They agreed that he would never be released from.
Correct. That's what could come in.
But that's the bottom line. He's never released.
Therefore, bottom line comes out. They've never released Shkeach and Anu, fresh Shkeach for everybody for trying. At least bear with me. The Rosh is a Chazir word. It's a little complicated. Fine. Let's try to see. I want to try to go further next tomorrow. I know it's a few more minutes. Try to finish a few more Rashis. I think we're on the of George here. Try to do everybody for want. We finish a few more Rashis. So tomorrow we go up to the next tomorrow. We get to start story tomorrow. Story time tomorrow. So we want to get to the stories already. So we'll do a few more Rashis. Let's see Rashi. Top Rashi. I leave it to Rabbi Yezer. I leave it to Rabbi Yezer. Kuli Abul Akli. The top line of Rashi and Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Kolam. I'm meaning to say, Manda Amar Mesa. If you hold that the Kohen Gadol died, Vade Kribi Yeshua Amar. You for sure go like Rabbi Yeshua, but like Rabbi Yezer. Why? Because the I leave it to Rabbi Yezer. According to Rabbi Yezer, like the Manda Amar Mesa, there's no such thing as Mesa. Kivin the Lagabe Abay Daisa Amar Pshula Sama Freya. Since by the work of the Kohen Gadol, he said it's possible, friend. Vada is a Kohen, you're not a Kohen. So when do they yes argue? Keep pleading, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yeshua. Klemmer. Ain't on the Trichim Lemmer, we don't have to say, Man Amar Batla Kribbel Yezer, but like Kribbel Yeshua. We don't have to say that the Man Amar who said Batla is only Rabbi Yezer, not Rabbi Yeshua. That I'll leave it to Rabbi Yeshua, Ikel Meir the Pligi. Because we could say even, right, we thought originally forced to say, that Yeshua doesn't hold it was bad retroactive. Say no. Yeshua also doesn't hold it was buckle retroactively. But Karbanis, the old is different. Karbanis is different. Why? Because the other pasuk, Yadav Tirsa, Avodaisav Kishayu. Meaning that Hashem wants his Avodah to do whichever way it was. I'm not sure exactly what this means in Rashi. Oh, his Avodah is kosher. Even if a chalal served, the Avodah is kosher. Avol enye sha'ar dvarav. Ain't a crime for other things. He's not going to be a crime. Shkaya. Baruch Hashem. That was Gemara. A little complicated. Baruch Hashem. That was Gemara. Okay. So tomorrow we're going to go further to Nigmar Din. Next Gemara. Stories. Try to keep on moving. Baruch Hashem.
Hey. Very
good. From Aaron, you got to prepare for this one.
Ending 12a.